The row is certainly still raging over a Belfast preacher's attack on the Islamic faith. Pastor James McConnell is unrepentant after branding Islam satanic and saying he did not trust Muslims. His comments in a sermon have led to a police investigation. In a statement on his church's website, the pastor said, "I never intended this to be a slight on the Muslim community that live in our country." Last night, Pastor McConnell issued a challenge to this programme during his sermon at the Belfast Metropolitan Tabernacle Church.
Last week we were told 600 listened on the internet. What do you think it is tonight, Ian? We don't know. But I think there's somebody else listening on the internet. I'm talking into the air. His name is Stephen Nolan. Stephen, will you invite me to come on to your show on Wednesday night? Don't have any guests. I don't have any guests. You and me will talk. Let me tell you about my faith in Jesus. Ask me any question that you want. Criticize me. Take me apart. Let the audience listen to us. Let them ask us questions. Let me witness to them. Stephen Nolan, I challenge you in the name of the Lord to talk to me on Wednesday night on your television show. And all God's people said. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you. Ask me about him. Ask me about anything that you want. And I hope you're listening. Humpy and all as you are, I love you. And I hope you're listening. And somebody will record it. Wherever you are tonight, whatever you're doing, I'm thinking about you. Because you've said things privately to me that I cannot disclose to this audience. Let me talk to you. Just you and me. Don't be bringing any old political leaders to the program. Don't be bringing any. Just you and me the whole night. And let's talk. And we'll see what happens. There's a wee challenge for him. Say, praise the Lord. Amen. Say, you'll not do it. You never know. You never know. Hallelujah. Watch this space. I don't know what this week will bring. The papers rang me today again. And we were in the Sunday papers and the usual on and on and on. This thing is running, this thing is carrying on and carrying on. But this time we are determined to exalt the Lord Jesus with all our hearts and with all our lives. That's a lovely word. So I'm throwing the challenge to him tonight. Throwing the challenge to him. Hope he hears me. Throwing the challenge. Come on, just you and me. And invite your television audience. Invite your television audience. Just you and me. And we'll talk to the audience. And we'll see what happens that night. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. 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 And Stephen, don't let the BBC lawyers control you. I know it's the biggest show in the country. Have me on Wednesday night. Don't let them control you. Well, believe God for a great night. It'll be one of the biggest shows you've ever had. Will you say, praise the Lord? Oh, the blood of Jesus.
So the pastor in fine singing form on Sunday at his sermon. The journalist Suzanne Breen with us this morning. Morning, Suzanne.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. And Khalid Anis from the Islamic Society of Britain. Good morning, Khalid.
Good morning.
Good morning. Suzanne, you've written about this in the Sunday Life, actually, haven't you? Criticising Islam and Sharia law is not a crime, you've written. Tell us what you meant.
Absolutely. I think that we should be able to criticise very, very strongly Islam. We should be able to blast Sharia law. We should be able to criticise the malign practices that are carried out in many Islamic countries across the world. But I feel that we don't do that with the same fearlessness as we do in tackling and ridiculing Christianity. We are very, very free, and rightly so here, to criticise Christianity, Judaism, Buddhism, or any other religion. But and that's free speech. But criticise Islam and you're a bigot. We can joke about Jesus and you're cool, but you mock Muhammad and you're racist. And I look at the words of, say, the best-selling atheist author Richard Dawkins, and he branded the last Pope, Pope Benedict, a leering old villain in a frock who fronted a corrupt child-raping institution. Now, I applaud those words. I think he's spot on. But I think if the same vilification was heard of Islamic leaders who would support or silently endorse a whole range of awful practices, who regard homosexuality as a sin and a crime, who will either silently endorse women being stoned to death for adultery, there would be absolute and utter outrage. People could, for example, burn the Bible in Belfast.
Yeah, but the point...
They could denounce Jesus. But if the same, if I went to an Islamic country and I burnt the Quran, if I criticised the Prophet Muhammad, there would be a completely different reaction.
Okay, Khalid?
There's not the same level of tolerance for criticism of Islam that there is for criticism of Christianity.
Khalid Denise.
Yes, okay. Right, okay, let's look at this in two different things, two different aspects, okay? So, criticising Sharia, criticising Islam, criticising the characters of Islam in Britain, no problem. Go ahead, criticise, be critical. You know, if you think there's not criticism of Islam in Britain today, then I'm afraid you're not reading the newspapers. Because every time I pick up the newspapers, there is criticism. And your feeling about, you know, mocking the Prophet in a Muslim country is totally different. It's a totally different game. It's not my country. I'm not from abroad. I'm from Britain. So, you know, you can't kind of lay in our own value systems in another country. But in Britain today, if you want to discuss Sharia, if you want to discuss Islam and you want to be critical of them, I'm not going to stop you.
But as the pastor says, if you're a Muslim living in Britain as you are, you are supposed to follow Sharia law, aren't you?
Right. Okay. Now we're moving from what your journalist colleague has said to what the pastor has said, which is really two different things. Okay. The pastor was generalizing, was stereotyping, was making ignorant statements about not trusting the Muslim community as a whole. And when he's talking about Sharia, he doesn't know what he's talking. He was critical of Sharia and put all his critique through that point. What is Sharia to me today, living in Britain? What is it? For me, it's about the small personal thing, speaking kindly to somebody.
But is there not
looking at my name? It's not just about speaking kindly to someone.
Is there not, Khalid Denise, an instruction within Sharia law to execute someone if they have committed adultery?
Okay, right. Two things. First of all, what has that got to do with Britain and British law and Muslims living in Britain?
Well, it's got everything.
Absolutely nothing.
Well, let's go. Hold on a moment. That's
nothing.
Surely, secondly.
No, let me finish my point. And secondly, when you're talking about Muslim countries, okay, exercising that aspect, then that's a small aspect of Sharia law. I and many Muslims don't agree with that. Okay, Sharia is what? It's a fluid set of guidelines.
Is it?
Okay, that is supposed to evolve over time. In a lot of Muslim countries where this is implemented, it's not evolved.
But the pastor was clearly
in the past.
The pastor was clear, and the pastor's an influential man in Northern Ireland. Thousands of people go to his church. You've heard his words, and he was clearly trying to suggest that Muslims are controlled by Sharia law. And he used an example. He said that if someone was told to hurt me, then a Muslim would have to do so if they were instructed to do so.
And that's clearly ridiculous. That is absolutely stupid. This is what I don't understand. I don't get how people even think can think this way. I'm living in Britain today. I abide by British law. Sharia has got nothing at all to do with me in Britain.
Suzanne?
It's actually part of Sharia to follow British law.
Well, it's not part of... It's not. Hold on. So if you're... Just for me to be clear, if you are a Muslim living in the United Kingdom, you do not have to follow Sharia law. Is that right?
Absolutely. Obviously.
You don't have to buy into it. You can just say no.
Of course not. How ridiculous is that? Our codification in Britain is British law.
And you just ignore all of Sharia law, do you?
I've just explained to you the aspects of Sharia law that I follow.
I understand that Sharia law does not have jurisdiction in the legislative framework in Northern Ireland.
I voluntarily give 2.5% of my income to charity. Okay? I don't have to give that. Okay? It's not written in British law for me to give that, but I do it. Do you understand? These are the sorts of aspects of Sharia law that I follow. I pick up litter when I'm walking in the street. That's my Sharia law. I'm kind to my neighbour.
So you can pick and choose.
I look out for my neighbour. That's my personal Sharia law. Nothing to do with British law.
Suzanne Breen, you wrote in your column in the Sunday Life, "Let's quiz Islamic leaders on their views on Sharia law." Would you like to ask Khalid? He's from the British Islamic Society. Would you like to ask him some questions that you were talking about in your column?
Yes, well, for example, if I'm looking at literature for people thinking of converting to Islam, homosexuality is regarded as one of the greatest crimes, the worst sin, the most abhorrent deeds. And I have read, for example, where there are Islamic scholars that are actually discussing how homosexuals should be killed, if they should be executed, or if they should be punished in another way, and if they are going to be executed, should they be burnt alive or should they be stoned to death? And this isn't just my opinion. In most of the Islamic world, homosexuality is not socially or legally accepted. Afghanistan, Iran, Nigeria, Saudi Arabia, Somalia, Sudan, Yemen, the United Arab Emirates, it actually carries the death penalty. And all the human rights organizations and various research bodies have found that in Islamic countries there has been absolutely no progress made in terms of securing gay rights. So, for example, are there gay religious leaders, Islamic gay religious leaders in Britain? Are there female religious leaders in Britain?
Khalid?
Right. You know, you've just trotted out a whole range of kind of so-called Sharia punishments and literature, which is, again, is totally to do with countries abroad. And I keep trying to get this through to you. I'm British, I live in Britain, and I abide by British law. Nothing to do with me. Nothing to do with me at all. I have no influence on those countries. Have I written to some of those countries explaining that I believe that actually some of the injustices which they are committing against all groups of people are ridiculous? Yes, I have. Okay? I've probably done more than a lot of your listeners in campaigning in foreign countries for justice, proper justice. It's got nothing to do with Britain. Are you asking me, are there leaders coming out of Britain from different communities and from not kind of your typical Asian sort of areas? Yes, of course there are. The British Muslim community in this country is evolving. It's developing. It's a young community. There are thinkers out there. There are speakers out there. These things take time.
But when Suzanne says in her column that a woman's testimony is worth half of a man's, according to Sharia law, is that true?
No, I don't believe it is true. Okay, number one. And number two, again, what has it got to do with me in Britain? Tell me, what has it got to do with me in Britain? So when that pastor comes on, and all those listeners that were on Radio 5 last night who kind of were concurring with him, that you can't trust Muslims, where does that come from? That comes from people like the journalist that you've got on and others who go and talk about foreign countries and about their understanding of Islam and these kind of sound bites about Islam, and that's what people believe. And I've always said that you will never understand Islam until you actually sit with Muslims in your local community, have a cup of tea with them, break down those barriers, become human.
Well, I have sat with Muslims here in Belfast. For example, when I went to the Islamic Centre off the Malone Road, I was horrified to find out that women and men didn't worship separately. Men worshipped in a large, beautiful room, and women worshipped in what was the equivalent of the dungeon in the house. Women were veiled, and men did not wear modest clothes. Men wore tight-fitting T-shirts, tight-fitting trousers, and there was a complete apartheid between men and women when they worship here in Belfast. I have met no one here in Belfast who doesn't think, no Muslim that I have met, who doesn't think that homosexuality is a sin and is a crime. I do not think, from what I have personally experienced, that, for example, two gay lovers could easily go into a mosque and worship freely and openly and be proud about their identity.
Could they, Khalid?
Look, there is no... First of all, your experience in the local Muslim community, okay, where... I mean, you didn't answer my question whether you've actually sat with people and actually befriended people, because that is the key. For an outsider coming in to a mosque or to a place of worship, it can look different. It can feel different. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, on the whole challenges that you're talking about on gender, about homosexuality, yes, I understand that those challenges exist. And I understand that, these are in different stages in different communities. But what I'm saying to you is that even people within the Christian faith have differing views on those subjects. So, you know, we have to understand that the only way to break down these barriers and to actually humanize one another is to sit down with one another. The pastor the other day was saying that he had Muslims in his congregation. I'd love to know who those Muslims were and why he wasn't sitting with those Muslims and talking to them. How can you utter a statement like that you do not trust Muslims? That is racist, that is stereotypical, that is ridiculous, and I cannot believe that he's not been challenged on that more.
Well, he has been challenged. He's been challenged an awful lot.